Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 7, Day 2. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 13, 18 through 30. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 7. Thanks for joining me today on the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. You really will be amazed at the benefits of repetition. Let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word is saying, to see what you're doing in this passage? Would you give us revelation in our hearts of your word? Holy Spirit, come and fill our minds and our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into John. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is John 13, 18. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Now, I find this interesting here that Jesus is troubled by this. It kind of blows my mind. Why is Jesus troubled by his betrayal? He's known this is coming his entire life, his entire ministry. He chose Jesus he chose Judas knowing full well what Judas was going to do. Judas, the whole time that he was with the disciples, John points out that he would steal from their money back. Jesus not only chose Judas, a man who he knew his heart from the beginning, but he actually even gave him the money bags knowing he was going to steal from it. He knew Judas's heart. He knew it was dark. He knew he was greedy. So why is Jesus troubled? I mean, the fact that John, you know, knew this and said this, that he was troubled in spirit. There's emotion that Jesus has wrapped up around what's going on here. Like, he feels for Judas. I mean, in another place, we know that he said it had been better that Judas had not been born because of what's about to happen. This is a big deal. This is a really big deal to God. I mean, Jesus takes this seriously, what Judas is about to do, and it weighs on him. It pains him. It hurts him. He knows it has to happen. And how somehow in the sovereignty of God and the free will of Judas and all of that, how that works, I don't understand it. Because there's a bit of both going on here, and I can't wrap my mind around it. But Jesus is emotional, and I think we need to pause on that for a moment. This isn't just part of the plan. This isn't just how things have to go. This isn't some rote piece of the plan, I guess, that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit put together from the beginning. Jesus has emotion over this. He feels deeply when he thinks about what Judas is about to do. And it causes him grief. I think that's a big deal. I think we need to think about that. We need to just talk to the Holy Spirit about that and ask him, you know, what is it that Jesus feels when he sees who we are and what we do, the good and the bad? I believe that mostly God has overflowing joy over us. But I think it's worthwhile just to ask the Lord, what do you feel when you think about me? Because I think there's moments in time where bad things happen to us. Not necessarily that we cause our own sin, but bad things happen to us. And God himself has tremendous emotion. When we lose a loved one, or we lose a job, or we go through problems and trials, go to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord, how do you feel about this? And I know that he has emotions. He feels for us. He experiences deep emotions over us, just like he does here with Judas. And this is not a one-time thing. Like, he over and over and over again throughout the Bible says he is an emotional God. He feels for us. He cares about us enough to feel pain and joy and sadness and grief for us, for what we're going through. So I think this is a powerful moment. And I encourage you, just rest on this for a moment as you read through this throughout the week and as you pray over this. Just rest on the emotions of Jesus. Jumping back into verse 22. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So pause there for a moment, and we're going to jump back to John. We talked about the disciple, the apostle John, yesterday, and here we're revisiting this. This chapter redefines John. He is going to use this moment to redefine who he is. He and Peter are not much different. I mean, we look at Peter as, you know, this cursing, brash sailor fisherman, and we look at John a little bit differently. I do. Maybe you don't, but when I look at John, I think of kind of this soft, gentle man. But he's really no different than Peter up to this point. And we see there's a closeness here that Peter realizes he's very close to Jesus. But they're also close to one another, because I believe that Peter and John's personalities are very similar. I think they're brash and bold and a little bit silly at times, and they're just out there. They're all in or all out, but there's no halfway with Peter and John. So I think it's interesting that Peter's, you know, saying to John, "Hey, ask him what he's talking about." But John, this brash, bold, probably cursing sailor fisherman, just like Peter, is using this moment here to redefine himself. He doesn't care if anyone knows that he's macho or strong or he's a good fisherman or whatever. I mean, this blue-collar guy here doesn't care about any of that anymore. And from this point on, for the rest of his life, he's redefining himself as the one who leaned against Jesus' breast, against his chest at this moment when Jesus is basically bidding them farewell. He's the one who leaned up against him. He understood something here now that most of the disciples didn't yet get. He's going to carry that through the rest of his life, and it was important to him to be known by this. I think that's something that we should meditate on as well, is how does knowing Jesus redefine who we are? It doesn't necessarily change our personalities. I don't know that John's personality changed. I bet he was loud and brash and bold and all that after this, but there's something about this moment that he said, "This is who I am forever." Do you have a moment in your life where you were spending time with Jesus that redefined you, where you say, "From now on, this is who I am. This is my identity. It's not my job. It's not my family per se. It's not the hobbies I'm involved in. This is who I am." Something about your relationship with Jesus that you redefined yourself by. I think that's powerful and important. Jumping back into this, and again, it's very interesting. Jesus says, you know, it's whoever I dip my bread in the bowl with, that's who's going to betray me. And I find it very funny. Why didn't he say, just point the finger, say, "Ah, it's Judas"? Why the dipping in the bowl thing? Why this synchronization here of them doing that together? I don't fully understand it. I think it's very fascinating. John doesn't really give us an idea of why Jesus needed to reveal his betrayer this way. I mean, when you think about it, there's so many different ways that you could have done it that have been, I don't know, maybe more flashy or more forthright or cooler or something. I don't know. But I mean, here he's making a point that it's who I'm dipping this in the bowl with at the same time. It's like this shared experience. It's almost like he's looking Judas in the eyes, knowing that, hey, we've spent these last several years together, but I know what you're going to do. And it's like the last thing that they share. And I think it speaks back to Jesus' emotions. But again, I don't know what exactly is going on here, but I know that it's important to Jesus that he does it this way. So back in verse 26, then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What does that even mean? For Satan to enter into Judas. I mean, it doesn't say that a demon enters Judas. It says that Satan did. This is powerful and scary all at the same time. And it causes me to ponder, what does this look like today? What does this look like for people today to give themselves so much over to their anger and bitterness that they would be open to demons and Satan entering into them so that they would betray the Son of God? This is so huge. This is a massive shift in the history of mankind right here. Judas has fully given himself over to Satan and has invited him in to give him boldness to do what he's got to do. That's terrifying. Back in the text, so Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had bought the bread, he went out, or had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Again, I'm blown away at why Jesus chose Judas. Jesus knew, and this is the paradox that I find here, Jesus knew that Judas was going to do this, and he still has emotion over it. He knew it from the beginning. He gave Judas the money bag on purpose. Why? It's so paradoxical. It causes me to wonder. It lets my mind wander, and I want to speak to the Holy Spirit, like, Lord, what were you doing here? Why did you do this? How does this relate to us today? I encourage you. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Talk to him about how he feels about this moment, how he feels about the moments in your life. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow for the 10-week Bible study.